Okay, good evening, everyone. Tonight's shiur is sponsored by Norm and Karen Lerner in memory of Karen's mother, Fega Bas Tzvi, Florence Goldschmidt, Alei HaShalom, on the occasion of her yahrzeit, and the zchus of our learning together tonight and acting, hopefully, on the good lessons that we learn. Indeed, the neshama should have an aliyah. Amen. The topic of tonight's shiur is Sefer Shmuel Perek Yud Beis, how to have that difficult conversation. And I think it will become apparent in just a moment why I titled the shiur as such. So I will share with you my screen so you can have the text in front of you in case you don't already have a text in front of you.
I'm on the phone though. So I can only hear you.
Okay, so you'll if you have a text in front of you, you can use it. Otherwise, you'll just have to listen along. Okay. So we are at Shmuel Perek 12. Oh, let's try this again. Share screen. There we go. Okay. Okay, where we last left off our story, Shaul had been recognized due to his military prowess as somebody who was worthwhile to be followed as the new king. And the Navi says, we'll just go back a couple of psukim here at the beginning of the last parak. The Yomer Shmuel El Ha'am, Shmuel tells the people, L'chu v'nelcha ha-Gilgal, let's go to Gilgal, u'nechadei sham ha-malucha, and we will inaugurate the monarchy. V'yelchu kol ha'am ha-Gilgal, and everyone, the whole nation, or all those assembled, go to Gilgal. V'yamlichu sham es-Shaul, and they coronate Shaul, l'fnei Hashem, before God, ba-Gilgal, in Gilgal. V'yizbichu sham zvachim shlamim l'fnei Hashem, and they offer sacrifices as part of this coronation process, this inauguration process. Vayismach sham Shaul v'chol anshei Yisrael ad ma'od. And everyone was happy. So this is like where the story should end. Everyone's happy, right? But that's just the end of the last parak and the beginning of the next. I would like to point out here that the pasuk says in these two psukim here, mentions Gilgal multiple times. Shmuel said to the nation, let's go to Gilgal. And they all go to Gilgal. And they inaugurate, they coronate Shaul as king in Gilgal. So what's this emphasis on Gilgal? Well, Gilgal is really the first place, essentially, that the Jewish people settled or came to when they crossed into Israel. So it has this association really with the early establishment of the Jewish people in the land of Israel. So going back to Gilgal, aside from anything else that may be there as an important place, but for this coronation process and for closeness to Hashem, and whether the Mishkan's there, or the Mizbeach is there, or the Aron is there, whatever may or may not be there, the fact of the matter is that Gilgal is associated with this early residence of the Jewish people in the land. So this is an appropriate place to do the coronation, the inauguration. Okay. Shmuel is now going to address the people. Now, Shmuel, you might recall, could have quite mixed feelings about this this coronation. On the one hand, Hashem agreed to do it, so sounds like it's been given stamp and approval by on high. On the other hand, the Jewish people requested it, and not for the best of reasons. And on the third hand, as Tevye was wont to say, Shmuel is in essence being displaced. If Shmuel was the chief cook and bottle washer until now, he might be the chief cook, but he's no longer the chief bottle washer. He has to share the position of authority and the position and cede position of power to Shaul.
So just on a sort of on a human kind of level, on a psychological level, one could forgive Shmuel for being somewhat resentful about this. Now, Shmuel was a great Navi and he was a great Tzaddik. And so we can properly assume that Shmuel did not harbor these petty feelings of resentment. But Shmuel did have concerns about moving forward in this new stage of the Jewish state. And Shmuel is now going to share these concerns and offer rebuke to Klal Yisrael. He's going to have a hard conversation. It's really more of a monologue than a conversation, but we could it's mostly a monologue. But even if it's a monologue, you know, hard conversations or hard things to say are hard to say, whether it's a full conversation or just a monologue. And in this case, it's mostly a monologue and a little conversation. Vayomer Shmuel kol Yisrael. Shmuel tells the people, Hinei shamati b'kolchem. You know, I listened to what you wanted. L'chol asher amartim li, everything that you said to me, i.e. that you want a king. V'amlich aleichem melech. And I indeed set a king upon you. That was not my recommendation, for reasons that were mentioned earlier, which he will review now. Viata, and behold, Hine Hamelech Mishalech Lifnechem, Hashem himself is walking amongst you. Va'ani zakanti vasavti, I have become old, and I have become, wizened. I've become, quite sagely old. Ubanai hinam itchem, and my children are amongst you. Va'ani salachti lefnechem, and I have walked amongst you. Minorai ad hayom azeh. So he begins this difficult conversation by stating, "I am, that number one, hinei hamelech misalech lefnechem." You know, the king is now going to be your leader. He's going to walk amongst you. By contrast, va'ani, but, as for me, I've become old and my children are amongst you and I've walked amongst you all these days. Why is he drawing this contrast? What's the point here? He could just say, his speech begins, va'ata hinei ha-melech misalech, the king is now going to, will be your leader and he's going to walk amongst you. And he could proceed to, why is he restating the obvious, that he's old, his children are amongst the congregation, and I have been amongst you all these years. What the Mepharshim say and becomes clear is that Shmuel begins his difficult conversation with stating his bona fides. I have standing to talk with you. I'm not just a nobody. I've earned my, I've earned my ability to speak, and not just that I've earned my right to speak, but I have earned your trust for you to hear me, and I'm going to tell you why. Ani zakanti v'savti, I've become old in my position here. Ubanai hinam itchem. My children did not take my place. I did not gain through this position of power and a prestige by somehow being able to hold on to it personally and give it to my children. So I've gained nothing from this, in the sense, nothing personal. And so what I have to say, you shouldn't think of as somehow... that I have given up something. I haven't gained anything from this to now be giving it up. I have been honorable with you all these years. It's not like, some of these third world or, third world countries or Middle Eastern countries that you have people that are quote unquote president for life. Like somehow if you call it president, it's now all of a sudden a respectable position because, people don't want to be king because somehow they want to hide the fact that they're potentates. But they're potentates. So he's saying, listen, I've been in this position a long time. This has not become a hereditary position. So it's not like I have, you know, I have like some personal truck in this. Furthermore, Ani yisalachti lifnechem mini urai ad hayom hazeh. You know me. I've been going around judging you from my earliest days. You know me and I know you. So if I have something to say, you know it's coming from a good place, and you know that it's not based on some type of elitist, dismissive, when you look down on somebody, condescending type of rebuke. No, you know me. Lahavdil elef alfei havdalos. I don't know why my mind goes here, but I remember when Walter Mondale lost the presidency to Ronald Reagan. He lost, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, every state in the Union voted against him, except for Minnesota, where he was from. And he got up and he gave his concession speech, you know, in the days when presidents conceded. And he said, you know, I feel proud tonight because the people who knew me best supported me. The people of Minnesota supported me. All right, so in other words, he's establishing his bona fides here. And he's saying, Ani salachti lifneichem, I've been walking amongst you all these years, from my earliest days. You know me. So he's trying to open them up to hear some difficult words, to try to lower their defenses. Right? Now, even the word which he uses over here, Ani hamelech mishalech lifneichem. This language of mishalech, it's not unique in the Torah or in Tanakh, but it is, it's not the it's not the rarest of words, but it's not the most common either. And I think this language is very particular. Everybody should remember, if we go back to Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Bereishis, so it says that Adam was in the Gan. Here, the Pasuk is... I'm opening up my Tanakh here. Hold on. Perek Beis. One second. Can I find it? It says that Hashem was walking... You know, walking amongst them. I'm going to give me 10 more seconds, see if I can find it. If not, we'll just move on. But, V'ruach Elokim mishalech b'soch hagan. I don't see it right in front of me the second, but we're all familiar with that pasuk. And the spirit of Hashem was amongst them in the garden. V'ruach Elokim mishalech b'soch hagan. Now, so this language of mishalech, which means to walk amongst, or to walk, v'atahinei ha-melech mishalech lifneichem, the king was walking before you. Could say, v'atahinei ha-melech holech lifneichem. Mishalech calls our attention, in my view, back to the earliest mishalech, which is Hashem walking amongst. And then he says, v'ani yisalachti lifneichem. And also, by the way, Es Elokim Hishalech Noach, right? Noach walked with Hashem. Again, this word Mishalech or Hishalech. So we have Ruach Elokim Mishalech B'soch Hagan, and then V'Elokim Hishalech Noach. So you have here also Mishalech and Hishalech. So it says here the king is now walking amongst you. You know, perhaps on an illusory level, is alluding to Hamelech, the king. Hamelech mishalech lifnechem. God, as God walks amongst you, ani hishalachti lifnechem, and I have walked honorably with you. I have something, difficult to say. All right. So what's the difficult thing to say? Well, we're not quite there yet. We're learning about how to have a difficult discussion. Pasuk 3. Hineni anu vi neged Hashem. says, Hineni, behold, here I am. Anu bi neged Hashem. I want you to speak against me or testify against me before Hashem. V'neged Mishicho. And in the presence of his anointed one. Eshor mi lakachti. In all these years, did I ever steal from you? Did I ever take an ox? V'chamor mi lakachti. Did I ever steal or take an unwarranted taking of a donkey? V'esmi ashakti. V'esmi ratzosi. And have I ever robbed or caused financial pain, distress, illegitimately to anybody? Did I press them? Did I oppress them? Did I ever umiyad milakachti kofer? Did I ever take a bribe from anyone? Valim einai bo, and then look the other, you know, and then look the other way in some type of case. In other words, tell me right now, vashiv lachem. If I did any of that, I will make recompense for that right now. He's establishing his bona fides to say some hard words here. Vayomru, and here we have a little bit of a dialogue. And the people responded, Lo ashaktanu, v'lo ratzosanu, v'lo lakachta miyad ishmi uma. God forbid. God forbid. You never defrauded us. You never robbed us. You haven't taken anything from anybody. Okay, then. So if we're all on the same page now, you know who I am. I've built trust. I'm a person of honesty and integrity, and you have just agreed that I'm a person of honesty and integrity. Vayomer aleihem, and he says to them, Eid Hashem bachem ve'eid mishicho hayom hazeh. As the Lord is witness, and his anointed is witness to your admission this day, ki lo mitzasem biyadi meumah. You have found nothing wrong. No criticism of any wrongdoing here, no blemish. Vayomer Eid, and they responded, yes. In other words, they agree with a full heart that Shmuel is the real deal. So he's, again, you know, when you try to have a hard conversation with somebody, the first thing you want them to know that you need is their trust. And so he established their trust with them. You want them to know that you're acting out of honesty and integrity, and you don't have some ulterior motive here, like it's good for me when I give you this advice. And so he's established that, and they've agreed to it wholeheartedly. And it's not something that they didn't know and he's making them aware of. He is bringing it to consciousness, right? We all know things, but somehow we get lost in what we know when we're going to have a hard discussion. So it's important for him to raise awareness. So this is not just latent awareness, it's conscious awareness. And so everybody's on the same page. He has now lowered the defenses whereby the people might be willing to hear what he has to say. Vayomer Shmuel, and Shmuel says to the nation, Hashem, asher asah es Moshe v'asah Aaron, v'asher he'ala savosecha me'eretz Mitzrayim. Hashem, who is the one who appointed Moshe and Aaron to lead the Jewish people and brought your forefathers out of the land of Egypt. That is to say, that he established his own bona fides. Now he's establishing Hashem's bona fides, right? We all agree, I think, that Hashem, by appointing Moshe and Aaron as leaders over Klal Yisrael, did an extraordinary chesed, because Moshe and Aaron together, through their great skill and the hand of Hashem, were able to take you, your forefathers, out of Mitzrayim and make you free people. Viata, and now, Hisyatzvu v'ishafta itchem lifnei Hashem. I have a little harsh things that I have to tell you. Stand up, v'ishafta itchem. I will judge with you before Hashem. In other words, I'm going to tell you something about yourselves that you might not want to hear. As kol tzidkos Hashem, asher asai etchem esavoseichem. You have acted in a way which betrays the righteousness and good and kindness that Hashem has done with you and your forefathers. Now, if that's the first thing that would have come out of his mouth, you think anybody would have even bothered to listen to the second sentence? I don't think so. Okay? As a well-known rabbi, well-known in the community, a public figure, a national public figure, I've heard him say many times, or in his name many times, I would rather be effective than be right. I'd rather be effective than be right. You know, Shmuel had every right to come out and say, wag his finger and say, listen, X, Y, Z. But you want to be effective. It's not just about unloading off your chest. You want to be effective in the conversation. Kasher ba Yaakov Mitzrayim. When Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim, by Yizaku avosechem al Hashem, and your forefathers cried out to Hashem, Vayishlach Hashem es Moshe ves Aaron vayotziu es avosechem im Mitzrayim vayoshivum b'makom hazeh. And Hashem sent Moshe and Aaron. They took you out of Egypt, and they brought you to this place, meaning to Eretz Yisrael. Now the Malbim, I believe it points out, it says, Kasher ba Yaakov Mitzrayim. When Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim. What does it mean when he came to Mitzrayim? He was in essence forced to Mitzrayim. But the Mefarshim explain that... But the Mefarshim explain, if I'm not mistaken, the Malbim says this, that Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim, and that's not the cause of the Ze'aka. Yaakov coming down to Mitzrayim is enabling, it was necessary in order for the next thing to happen. In other words, Mitzrayim itself, as difficult, as tragic, as painful as it was a necessary building block forging the nation of the Jewish people. So, you know, he comes down, Yaakov Avinu comes down. It's not that he was forced down, you know, in other words, from a cosmic perspective, he comes down to Mitzrayim. When he comes down, so this then enables the next difficult chapter, necessary difficult chapter. But what is the beauty, if you will, from this tragedy is that the difficult years in Egypt demonstrate Hashkachas Hashem, God's divine providence of the Jewish people. The Jewish people cried out to Hashem and he sent Moshe and Aaron and he took you out of Mitzrayim and he brought you here. So we're not talking about a distant God. We're talking about a God that is involved day to day in your life. So I've established my bona fides. I'm now establishing Hashem's bona fides here. And now comes the hard part of the conversation. Vayishkechu es Hashem Eloheihem. They forgot Hashem, their God. I'm sorry, this is not... We're continuing with the bona fides. And when Hashem brought the people into Eretz Yisrael, that in and of itself is a demonstration of God's relationship involvement and divine providence. And then again, we see it. The people forgot Hashem. Vayimkor osam biyad Sisra, sartzva chatzor viyad plishtim uviyad melech moav ayilacham ubam. So the Jewish people sin. If for those of you who are with us for Sefer Shoftim, you'll recall that the Jewish people sin, and they get there's a consequence that they are sent under the oppressive hand of either the plishtim or Moab, or in the case of Sisra. So why is this? How is this establishing Hashem's bona fides? Because the same Hashem who responds when Jewish people walk away from Hashem is there also when the Jewish people come back to Hashem. There is a relationship, and there is a active involvement. Vayizaku el Hashem, vayomru chatanu. The people cried out to Hashem. They said, "We sinned. Ki azamnu es Hashem v'navodes ha-baalim es ashtaros. We left Hashem and we worshipped the baalim and ashtaros, these idols. V'yata hatzilenu miyad oyveinu v'navdecha. Save us, O Hashem, from our enemies, and we will serve you." And guess what happens, if you recall, says Shmuel to the people. Hashem sent a whole series. Each time this pattern reasserted itself, Hashem sent a savior. In the case of Yerubal, who is Gidon, the Shofet, Bidan, who is Shimshon, according to Chazal, Yiftach, who we learned about earlier, and now Shmuel. The establishment of these figures is a representation of Hashem's intimate involvement in the affairs of the Jewish people. And God saved you from your enemies, and you dwelled securely. Vatir'u, and then more recently, you saw, Ki Nachash Melech Bnei Amon Ba'aleichem, when the king, Nachash, the king of Amon, came upon you, Vatomru li, and you said to me, Lo, Ki Melech Yimloch Aleinu, no, we want a king to reign over us, V'Hashem Elokeichem Alkechem, but Hashem Elokeichem is your God. What's he saying here? He's saying, sweet, dear Jewish people, you know me, I know you, we have a long relationship, you know I'm a person of integrity. Look at the history. What are you doing? You know that you asked for a king and I gave you one. But it would be irresponsible of me, and it would also be insensitive of me if I didn't share with you what you need to know about what you've just done. And what you've just done is you've rejected Hashem. Ki melechim lo chaleinu, Nachash comes, vatomru li, and you said to me, lo. What do you mean you said to me no? Lo what? What is the no to? Lo is like rejecting, instead of Hashem, we want a king. Or maybe instead of the Navi being guided by Hashem, you want a Melech. Hashem Elokeichem Malkechem, but Hashem our God is your king. It continues. Viata Hinei Hamelech Asher Bechartem Asher Shealtem, the king that you have chosen and that you asked for. What's the difference between Bechartem and Shealtem? Bechartem means that you chose. In other words, you took. Sounds like it was your choice. Asher Shealtem, however, means that you requested and it was given to you. So on the one hand, you appointed this king. On the other hand, which was wrong, on the other hand, Hashem did ultimately acquiesce to it. V'hinei nasan Hashem aleichem melech. And here is the king that you have chosen, that you have asked for. So, given that this is problematic, I want to give you some good advice here. Because it's not like Chet HaEgel, where you did something that God didn't agree to. You did something here objectionable, but Hashem basically said, you know, B'derech she'adam rotze leilech molichen oso. The way a person goes, you know, we help him along his way. So even though Hashem was not a big fan of having a melech the way you asked for it, certainly, Hashem agreed to it. And therefore, out of the greatest sense of love and duty, I have to tell you what I'm going to tell you. Im tiru es Hashem ve'avaditem oso shmatem bekolo. If you demonstrate a reverence for Hashem, and you serve Hashem, and you adhere to his mitzvos, v'lo samru es pi Hashem, and you do not reject and rebel, ve'yisem gam atem ve'gam ha'melech asher malach aleichem achar Hashem Elokeichem. And if both you and the king who reigns over you will follow Hashem, then all well and good. It'll be fine. But you have to make a choice here. You and the king are going to have to make a choice. But you're going to have to make a choice. Because the king that you asked for is not the king that Hashem appointed. The king that you asked for is Melech Kechol Hagoyim. The king that Hashem has given you is going to be a monarch that is guided by Dvar Hashem. And so it's not going to be Kechol HaGoyim in that sense. V'im lo sishmu b'kol Hashem, if you do not follow the word of Hashem, u'marisem es pi Hashem, v'haysa yad Hashem b'chem u'va'avosechem. So if you don't obey Hashem and you flout Hashem's commands, then, you know, there's going to be consequences to that. Hashem is involved. There's an intimate, actionable involvement in the life of Bnei Yisrael, both for what we perceive as the good and what we perceive as the bad. But when you have a relationship, when you have a relationship, then a relationship is meaningful only if they're real sort of rights and responsibilities. If it's just a fair weather kind of thing, then it's, you know, it doesn't mean much. Gamata, therefore, hisyatzvu u'es ha'davar ha'gadol hazeh asher Hashem oseh le'einechem. Stand up and see the amazing thing that Hashem will do before you. And he's basically saying the following. I know that this is hard to hear. So I'm going to do, sometimes people need a little shock value to shock them out of their defenses. And he says, Halo k'tzir chitim hayom, we're in the middle of the harvest season. The one thing you don't want during harvest season is rain. You want harvest season during the planting. You want rain during the planting season. So he says, it's the harvest season. I'm going to call out to Hashem, v'yitein kolosu matar, and the great sounds and rain will fall. This is reminiscent of Har Sinai. Kolos, right? God's kolos ubrakim, thunder and sound. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to show, and what does Har Sinai indicate? Har Sinai indicates Hashgacha Pratis, God's direct intimate involvement in the life of the Jewish people. And the rain is also signifies Hashem's involvement in the life of the people. In Eretz Yisrael, as others have pointed out, you know, you go a few miles north to Lebanon and there's rain up the wazoo. You go a few kilometers south to Egypt and they have the water of the Nile. But in Israel, the presence of rain is a reflection of the relationship of Bnei Israel. That's what we with Hashem. That's what we say in Shema, right? If we follow Hashem, if Shamoa Tishmuel Mitzvosai, so there will be rain in its proper time. Yore u'Malkosh. Yore is the first rain. Malkosh is the last rain of the year, right? The rains will come at their proper times. But if not, then not. So the mixing the metaphor here of rain or from the heavens, and this language of kolosu matar is sort of which sounds like the thunder and the sound and fury of Har Sinai is basically saying Hashem, I'm going to demonstrate to you that Hashem's involvement. And in case you don't believe me, this should be a proof to you that what you did is bad in Hashem's eyes. L'shol lachem melech, to request a king. And Shmuel calls out to Hashem, and Hashem brings down rain, thunder and rain, on this day. And now the people are deathly afraid, because rain during the harvest season is a curse. Vayirak kol ha'am, odes Hashem v'Shmuel. They feared Hashem and Shmuel. Vayomru kol ha'am, and the whole nation called out, Naaseh v'nishma, right? Like Har Sinai. But instead of calling out Naaseh v'nishma, they say, Hispalel ba'ad avadecha, pray for us to Hashem. Ba'al namus, so we shall not die. Ki asafnu al chatosenu ra'ah, Lishol lanu melech, for we have added to all our previous sins by seeking out a king. Vayomer Shmuel el ha'am, and Shmuel says to the people, he says, "Don't worry, al tira'u. Don't worry, atem asisem es kol ha'azos. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. You have done the wrong thing, but having done the wrong thing, you can make lemonades out of these lemons, or you can make more lemon juice out of these lemons. Achal tasuru me'acharei Hashem va'avadetem es Hashem b'chol levavchem. Don't turn away from Hashem and serve Hashem with all your hearts, like we say in Shema, b'chol levavchem, b'chol nafshechem, serve Hashem b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, serve Hashem with all your heart. V'lo tasuru, and don't turn away. This language of lo tasuru is reminiscent of what the Torah says. Hashem says through Moshe to the people, he shamer lecha pen, He shamer ma'od es nafsho sechem, and ishmartem ma'od es nafsho sechem, pen, I'm forgetting the pasuk, lest you forget what you heard at Sinai, and you shall not turn away from Hashem. Okay, so that's what that's what we have after Har Sinai, or in the Torah, that the people are commanded. We have that same language here being recalled. Lo tasur ki acharei hatohu asher lo yo'ilu v'lo yatzelu ki tohu ema. Don't turn away and follow worthless beings. Ki lo yitosh Hashem esamo b'avur shmo hagadol. Because Hashem will not abandon His people. Ki ho'il Hashem la'asos eschem lo la'am. Because Hashem has undertook to make you His people. So here we have another lesson here in having a difficult discussion. The discussion starts off with establishing the bona fides of Shmuel, bound to the bona fides of Hashem. He doesn't whitewash it, and he doesn't say what they did was wrong. What you did, Bnei Israel, was wrong, but it's not irredeemable, and Hashem has given His stamp of approval to this, to your poor judgment, but you have an opportunity to turn it around. And even though this was a bad decision on your part, it's not an irredeemably bad decision, because done correctly, it's exactly what Hashem would have wanted. Because the Torah says, "Som tasim alecha melech," there's a mitzvah to have a king. So you can now turn it around. It's not the fact of having a king that's problematic, it's how you wanted to do it. So you need to recommit yourselves to loyalty and fidelity to Hashem. If not, it's going to be, as they say in the Torah, gehakt etzaris, right? It's going to be a difficult. It's going to be difficult for everybody all around. But he doesn't end on a tough note. He says Hashem will not forsake you. Hashem will not abandon you. Hashem undertook you to make His people. If you want to get your point across, you got to start off with lowering the defenses so people will hear you, saying the harsh words, but concluding with with raising the person up, not squashing them underneath the rebuke. Gam anochi chalila li mechatol Hashem. Far be it for me to sin against Hashem. Mechadol hispalel ba'adchem, to refrain from praying for you. I will continue in my role as a Navi, to daven for you. I might not be shofet anymore, but I am still Navi. And in that role, I will continue to represent you to Hashem, to plead for you to Hashem, to advocate for you. I'm on your side. Yes, these are harsh words, but not harsh words because I'm trying to vomit all over you and just get it off my chest and just, you know, get it out of me. And now that I've gotten out of me, I've done my duty and I can go home with a clear conscience. I've done nothing for you if that's what I've done. But now I end. Hopefully you're having heard me and maybe even feeling a little down and depressed about what I've said. But understand, Gam anochi chalila mechato mechadol l'ispal badchem. I will never cease in my role as advocates for you. V'horesi eschem b'derech hatova ha'yishara. And I will continue to instruct you in the practice of what is good and what is right. You should have reverence for Hashem, serve Hashem with all your heart. You should see how much Hashem has done for you, as we pointed out. But if you persist in your wrongdoing, both you and your new little king will be swept away. So this is, I don't want to say Shmuel's swan song because he's not done yet, but it's his swan song as Shofet. You know, he's done as Shofet and now he assumes the role of Navi. And really, this is the right thing. The role of the Navi is both to rebuke and to support. And in this parak here, parak Yud Beis, of Shmuel rebuking and supporting the people, we know we not only learn something about Shmuel and his relationship with the people, but I believe that this is preserved for eternity, for posterity, for us to learn how to go about having a difficult conversation. So with that, we'll pause for tonight. If there are any comments or questions, we'll be happy to take them at this time. Okay. All right. So then we wish everybody a good evening. The Bite of Torah will be at 11:45 on Wednesday on Zoom. And good night to all.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye, everybody.